And I think that because of that, that's why it's so difficult for us to walk in love. Tonight I want to talk about our love walk. And again, I'm not going to keep you too long, but I want us to really have our hearts open to hear what the Word of God has to say about walking in love. The Bible says, 12:31, so you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. It had already talked about all the gifts. Some are called to be apostles, preachers, teachers, givers, leaders. But it says now, you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Love is the greatest, is the subtitle. 13:1. If you could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, the Bible says I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. The Bible says love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way, it's not irritable, and it takes no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name above every name, we just give you all the glory for your truth. I ask, Lord, that our church, that we as your people would honor you in our daily life, that we would walk it out, that we'd grow to the next level wherever we're at, that we would grow to the next level. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk about learning to walk in love. I think that for a lot of us, there was a disservice to us growing up. A lot of us didn't know. We didn't know much about love. Anybody raised in a healthy Christian household? I think a few of us. And that's a privilege. I think a lot of us, we just kind of come from, you know, poor examples of love, of God's love. I know I didn't know about Jesus. Man's love is conditional, right? You get too noisy and you're getting yelled at. You do something wrong, you're going to get screamed at. You're going to, you know, growing up as a child, you kind of get used to that. But God's love is unconditional. God's love is very different. And what I want to share is, you see, when you get saved, and the Bible says in order to be saved, you must believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you shall be saved. That's step one. Somebody say step one. That's only the beginning. And then what happens is if we choose to have all that he is become all that we are, we have to go through the process of sanctification. We have to make a commitment to growth, a commitment to Christ, that we're going to become more and more like Jesus each day. It's kind of like this. Before I married my husband, I didn't have his name. All that was his wasn't mine, and all that was mine wasn't his. But when I said, I do, and I made the commitment, then everything that was his became mine, because I then opened my life up. Everything that I am becomes yours. See, that's where we go from step one, and we just progressively grow in our relationship with God, because we've made a commitment. Not, oh, I believe I'm covered by the blood, and I can live like H-E-L-L all week long and come into Sunday morning and say, Father, forgive me. I know I did wrong, but it's just so hard. Listen, there is breakthroughs. There is a way up and out. Amen? And I want to encourage our church to go from step to step. Now, I want you to understand my heart, understand our pastor's heart, that we know nothing happens overnight. This generation, we want everything instant. We want everything fixed yesterday. I came to church, I've been doing good for a season, and it should all be settled and straight. Well, how long does it take for us to get some things? Not for them to get it, but for us to get some things. How long does it take for some of that anger, some of that jealousy, some of that, laziness, come on somebody, some of that stuff to come up out of us? It's a process. It's a lifelong process okay, for us to become more like Jesus. Now, when I first got saved, I got to say that it took me many years. My husband said about 6 years before he started getting a higher tolerance level, getting some patience. I would say for me, I did a lot of outward change. The first years of my salvation, began to be a leader, began to sincerely dive into the word, all those things. But I had a lot of brokenness inside of me. I'd say it took me at least 5 years, at least 5 years to truly know who I was in Christ. Now, because I went through that, I'm going to make sure if you're a friend in my life, if you're in this church, one of my sisters, you don't have to go through 5 years. I'm going to make sure that I encourage you and give you the word and just encourage your walk with God and do whatever part God allows me to be in your life so that you can bypass 5 years. Amen. I believe that, you know, if you let people, if you let others, then they'll go ahead and impart in your life and help you sidestep and pass over a lot of the pitfalls that we fell into. Amen. But that's important, okay? And there's a process of sanctification, a process of change. Sometimes we get it right on the outside, you know, Sunday's best, if that's what you like to wear, or whatever, we get it right on the outside, but the inside, can anyone relate to me? But I still feel void. I don't really know what God's love is. I still feel empty sometimes at home, or I feel a disconnect between me and God. Those are all things that we feel, and I want to encourage us as a body, let's be real about things. Change doesn't happen overnight. The choice to come to Christ, to give him our heart, is one moment. Your soul is set free. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've made the decision. Okay, but now we got to work on, we got to change some things in our lives, right? We got to keep going forward. We can't expect it to happen like a microwave. That's the best way to explain it. Fast food's not even good for us, not even nutritious. We eat it all day because it's quick, fast, maybe because we're lazy. I don't know. I don't really care for it, but you know what I'm saying, right? We like things fast. We like things. We're impatient. This generation, our culture is fast-paced, and we ain't got time for nothing. I ain't got time for growth. We want it. But it's hard for us to discipline ourselves, to get down on our knees and seek the face of God. It's hard for us to put our pride down, pick up the phone and say, I don't really know how to pray. Would you please pray with me? It's hard for us to turn off the TV because our emotions are we're just fatigued maybe with the day, the work day, to just go ahead and turn off the TV and open the word and begin to read. It's hard for us sometimes to get past ourselves. But I want to encourage us, listen, the Bible talks about how we're to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Teaching is one thing we're supposed to do, but then we're also supposed to disciple. Okay, when Jesus discipled, a lot of us are familiar with this, and I'm not going to stay stuck here, but I just want to say, when Jesus discipled, the teachers had a yoke, okay? So you ever heard, my yoke is easy, my burden is light? That's what Jesus says. So he had the followers. The people would follow the Pharisees, and they'd put laws on them. And so when you saw the yoke or the school of people, they all looked alike. So it's kind of like if I had, it was the men, but if I had me and Don and Aritha and Crystal and Linda, and we would all look alike. You could tell who's in my yoke, right? Who I'm teaching, my understudies. Well, Jesus came with a whole different, I'm not going to put the law on you. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. See, he was teaching them a whole new mindset. Like, you don't got to do all the right things to be right with me. You are right, and it should change your want-tos. It should change your desires so that you would want to live right. I'm a holy God. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So it's backwards thinking. Sometimes we think it happens fast, and it happens, it's visible. But, you know, there's a lot of things that are unseen. There's a lot of things that are unseen, and I want to encourage our church to be a church that knows how to pace ourselves. I'm not talking about staying stuck, I'm all messed up, I'm all this, I'm all that, because you know what? I'm not going to go into my entire testimony, but I can relate. I come from a broken past, I come from a broken family, I come from all kinds of things. I just come from a lot of darkness and chaos, and it took me a while to start getting things. I was for sure passionate about seeing people break through and passionate about souls being saved. I certainly wanted that, but there was so much disconnect in my life and emptiness. And I just want to talk about our love walk tonight, because I think it's not something we intentionally just go ahead and study upon. The Bible says love is patient, love is kind, I almost feel like we could stop right there and just start talking about it. Because patience, love is patient. How easy is it for us to be impatient with ourselves, right? It's easier for us to discern how impatient we are with others, especially those closest to us. But it's so easy for us to be impatient with ourselves. Patience is the ability to suppress restlessness. Patience is, I had another definition in here, but there's a few definitions on, I'm not going to search for it, few definitions on patience, but think about it. The ability to suppress restlessness and irritation. Sometimes, you know, when people rub us the wrong way, we feel like we have the right, and I'm not going to stay stuck on this, moving right along, but we feel that we have the right to just act however we want because they're not moving on our timetable. Now, I used to be extremely impatient, it didn't take much to trigger me, and then it took a little more to trigger me, and I grew a little bit more, and I'm still in a process, but I've come a long way. I come a long way, enough so where I can encourage your walk, because I know when I see someone that's impatient, it's easy to identify, and there's no knock, no judgment. Look, the main thing is to recognize it within ourselves, right? We don't have to play Holy Spirit for the rest of the church, but recognize it within ourselves and just grow. God, I give this to you. Your word says love is patient. The Bible talks about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, okay? The first fruit is love. The first fruit is love. We are known by our fruits. And we get fruit of the Spirit. That might be a term you're not familiar with, but as you spend time with God, as we spend time in his word, not trying to get somewhere. You know, I love it because our church is in a church that, you know, where we put like leadership on a pedestal. We understand everything's balanced. We understand that it's an honor. It's a privilege. You know, we look at leadership as we got to lead at home. We got to lead at work. We got to, you know what I'm saying? You know, so the main thing that I want to bring up about that is that it's important that we just simply understand as we begin to spend time with God, we're not searching for a Bible study for Friday or a word to give to somebody else or, you know, we're not just getting in the word for others. We're doing it for us. It's important. I want to encourage us to just be self-taught. That's one of those things that, you know, 25 years from now for all of us, we are still going to have to feed ourselves. We're still going to have to feed ourselves the spiritual, you know what I mean? Never get to a place where we've arrived. So simple spiritual fruit is just, it comes from spending time with God. It comes from praying. It comes from just allowing God to do things in our lives. The Bible says that we're slaves to whatever we obey, right? Romans 6:16. So if we are, it says we're either slaves to sin. If we obey our flesh, we're a slave to sin. If we obey the Lord, then we are a slave to the Lord. But you got to serve somebody. And I really want to encourage our church to not just, you know, live off of anyone else's faith, off of your home director's faith, off of your grandmother's faith, off of your mother's faith, off of your husband's faith, off of your wife's faith, but develop a faith walk of your own. And this is how we begin to connect those dots. You ever feel like, man, dots aren't connecting? You're new to God or Christ, serving God in church or, you know, things are newer for you. You could even be around 5-6 years and some of the dots don't connect. Well, listen, number one in learning to walk in love is to connect with the Lord, okay? That's number one. It took me years to understand how much he loved me. And I just want you to know tonight how much he loves you. And the way to know that is to renew your mind by reading the word of God. Okay, you have to. You got to get around people that are going to remind you of who you are, not who you used to be. Come on, somebody. You got to get around. You got to start listening to message. That's a good place to clap and give God glory. Because some of us need to cut some things off. Some of us need to draw a line and say, there's certain things I will not say or talk about. Come on. I'm not going to pollute my sister. I'm not going to knock down my brother. I'm not going to do it no more. I'm going to build them up because we got to speak life to others. That's an action. Love is a verb. It's also a noun, but it's an action word. And I want to encourage us, listen, the more that we put out, the Bible says that the words we speak are overflow of the heart. And so if we find things coming out of our mouth that just shouldn't be said, it tells us we've got a heart condition. Amen? And it's real for all of us to not examine our brother. The Bible says, don't look at the speck in your brother's eye. Don't look at the speck in your spouse's eye. Don't look at the speck in their eye, but examine, consider the plank in your own eye, the Bible says. Amen? And how important is it for us? Also, let me encourage you with this truth, okay? The Word of God says that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who could know it? And then it tells us in Proverbs, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. What does that mean? Sometimes we just ponder with no outside inspiration, no Holy Ghost inspiration, no wise counsel, and we just ponder all the things in our heart. How many do that? I used to do that. Music used to be my remedy. I was a new Christian. I bumped my whatever. I didn't even have a conviction about my crazy music, and it was cursing and everything. And I kind of got into the Word Sunday morning when my pastor would preach for a whole year. And all before I came to Christ, music was my remedy. It was my medication. It was my peace. If any of you are in that place, I want to encourage you, you got to get up out. Because listen, what we feed ourselves does come out. And the Bible says, my heart is deceitful above all things. So I can't just ponder the things in my heart and expect to come out with a wonderful, godly, you know, awesome idea for my family. Amen? Sometimes that's what we do, though, because we're like, I got to figure it out. Men, I know you feel more pressure. In many ways, single moms feel a lot of pressure. We all have a level of pressure. We feel we got to be responsible and independent, and we got to figure things out, always ready to make moves. But I want to encourage us as a church, listen, we got to be a people that learn how to wait on God. Somebody say, wait on God. We got to learn to wait on God. And this is vital. We got to get around some godly counsel. We got to get around some people that you know, have the Word in their heart. People that want to encourage us and see better. Amen? We have to begin to change what we're listening to. Even the music. You know, any influences, even our entertainment. Sometimes the things that entertain us, my God. Right? Some of the things on television. Now, I'm not trying to be all holy, but see the perspective. All right, what we feed ourselves is going to come out, okay? And so I want to encourage us as a church to take this serious, because it's impossible for me to say, you know, I'm passionate about learning to understand God's love. I'm passionate about walking in love. I'm passionate about, or, you know, I just desire to, you know, walk in God's love and fulfill the calling on my life and not take heed to practical everyday matters. Amen? And I got to just, with that, it's important. Don't lean on your own understanding, but seek the Word. So just going back to the fact that faith is an action word, it does take a process. I'm not even going to pretend. It took me a while to even get somewhat polished. It took me a while to even talk without cussing. It took me a while to just change, because I came up a certain way. When you're doing things, for me, it was 18 years, and that was enough. It was enough. I felt, I knew God was calling me. I don't have time to share some of the things, but God was calling me. The warfare in my life was real, and I knew that I needed to get saved. I knew that Jesus was the answer, and he came to me, and I don't have a church background in a beautiful way, but I knew I needed to change. It took a while. It took a while for me to just get that, to understand that, you know, just coming to him and being able to understand that, you know, it's a process. And I remember the whole time when I first came to Christ, I remember being so it was easier to not say anything at all than to try to be the good godly sister. I'd watch the women in the church. The church I went into was a little smaller than this. I come from Seattle Victory Outreach. We had a men's home. We had a women's home. We had probably like a little smaller than this group. And I would watch the women, and I would try to, you know, I was trying to mimic what I saw, but yet again, there was a disconnect. So it was hard for me to make it action in my life, because I could do it at church, but I couldn't do it at home. Because when I got saved, some of my family told me I was a buster. They flat out came against me because they were serving darkness, okay? And so for me, I was like, I try to be loving, and then I would, you know, I just have to respond. And it took me a while, okay? So If anything, I just want to encourage, listen, our church, it's going to take a while, but we want to be able to get to the point where we understand he loves us, and then we're able to love on somebody else. Some of us think that the greatest thing for us is to be loved, the greatest thing in the world. But I'll be honest, the thing that grows you most, of course, we know God loves us, but it's to love somebody else. Do you know that love is selfless? Some of us are so selfish. We're so selfish. We want what we want, when we want it, how we want it. It's all about me. I don't want to be inconvenienced, and I did enough. Then the Bible even says, you know, then the rest, some of us, we love our friends. We love those who love us. But Matthew chapter 5, 44 through 47 tells us, what does it profit you to only love those who love you? There's no profit at all in that, because even the tax collectors do that, Jesus says. So there's no reward in loving those who love us. When we grab a hold of God's heart, we love all. It's not a sloppy agape. It's not like we're a doormat. Agape means godly love. We don't become doormats. I'm not a fool. Come on, we're not going to raise up people that just don't know how to respond to life situations. Hello, somebody. You know, there's boundaries, all these things, but we have to learn how to allow God to enlarge our hearts and help us to let people in. Listen, connecting with others, loving on someone else, being selfless towards someone else. Look, we got to do it for our kids. Let's just put that out there. We have to do it for our kids. A lot of us, right? They're innocent. They're precious. You love on them. It's not, you know, even when it gets hard, it's selfless. You love them. But what about our husband? What about our wife? What about our brother? Come on, because we feel like, I don't got to love you. I don't got to do for you. Come on, somebody. Think about it. But God commands us. He says, a new commandment I give to you, love the Lord your God above all else and love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say if you feel like it or after you've been serving for 25 years or when you become a pastor or when you finally get married or when you finally get your stuff straight. He says, he just puts it out there. Now, I'm just laying it out as truth. Listen, it takes a long time. It takes a long time. But I want to just, there was three things I want to pull out, if you remember anything in this, and I'm closing. Number one, love is an action word, all right? Yes, it is a noun, right? It is a thing. God is love. It is a thing that we do, right? But it's also a verb, okay? Love is powerful. Second, love is patient. We don't even have to go to the kind, and let's just work on love is patient. Love is patient. Jesus has been patient with us, and we've got to be patient with others. And before I go to the last one, I really feel that some of us need to deal with the spirit of unforgiveness. And I just feel that. I feel that in order to really let God's love in, he says, I have forgiven you, so you are to forgive your brother. And it's really difficult to let that love in and really walk in love when we have unforgiveness in our heart. And I don't know, life hasn't dealt most of us a fair hand. But listen, God kept us. So I want to encourage us on that note. Let's take it to the Lord so we can walk out his love. But lastly, listen, love is spiritual warfare. The devil hates love. Matter of fact, it's an all-out war against love. Right? What does he want to do? Divide. He doesn't believe in family. He doesn't believe in holy matrimony. He doesn't want to see you saved. He doesn't want to see you happy. Come on, somebody. The devil hates love. To stand in love is victory. To stand in love is victory. To get to a place where you say, I know who I am in Christ. The world may not know me, and I really don't want to even worry about that. But God, I know I'm right with you. To get to a place where you say, I receive your love. You can come and have your way in my life. Everything that I am is yours. And Lord, I openly accept everything that you are. When we come to a place of surrender, it's powerful. And then we get to the place where we begin to love on others. Intentional. There's so much more to it. But I feel like for us, as a church of some of us are new believers, some of us are coming back to the Lord, some of us have been around a while, but it never gets old to study what true love is and to walk it out. Bible says I can give all that I have to the poor. I might have something to boast about. But without love, the Bible says, I'm nothing. And so, as we stand, the next time you're tempted to be impatient because someone's in your way, I'm going to challenge you as a believer in Christ to think about what's happening, to slow your roll. I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes.